Light dispels darkness. I'm glad Jesus came as the light, and this world couldn't comprehend it. That means they couldn't put it out. Amen. He's a shining bright yet today, and I bless his name. It's come time for preaching this afternoon, and I appreciate Brother Eddie Jolly. He's the pastor of Lebanon Baptist Church. Appreciate the church there and the people. They have always been a blessing to my life. And I appreciate God's man this afternoon. The Lord laid him on my heart and touched me about him. And I had to take my son for a procedure at the hospital here been a few weeks ago. And I was sitting there. And there's a finger come around the corner of the door just a pointing at me. And I said, well, you better bring that finger on in here or I'm going to cut it off. And he come around and stood there. And the Holy Ghost said, see, I can bring him to where you're at. It's amazing how the Lord does those things. You say, well, that's just a coincidence. You can think whatever you want to. I just believe the Lord's hand was in all that. And he's God's man for this afternoon. And I want you to hear him gladly. I know some of you tired. I am too. I'm wore out physically. But I want to tell you, we had a good day at church. And I'm feeling pretty good right now. And the Lord will help you. You hear him, you help him preach. Amen. Preach to us. Carry out the service as you feel led.
I do want to thank everyone here at Camp Meeting. About 3 years ago this week, we were down at CMC. Most of you know, y'all prayed for him.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate your prayers.
Yes, sir.
Hit a farm tractor on a Ninja motorcycle. It disintegrated his face. I was at the hospital visiting that Saturday. I had no idea. Heard there's a bad wreck. Get home. I asked the state troopers there, was he going to make it? And they said it didn't look good. They airlifted him from Wittenberg. I got to see him. Massive head trauma. Big hole right here in his head. And we were right here at camp meeting that week. And the Lord spared him. The Lord saw fit. Y'all prayed for him. I appreciate Brother Steve. He would text me just about every day and want an update. Say, we prayed for him in the altars. We prayed for him out at the prayer grounds. We praying for you, boy. I appreciate all the churches that prayed for him. Appreciate Preacher Gillum. He put it on his website and had people all over the country praying for him. So many thanks. I was thinking about it, how to thank you. And Lord spoke to me and said, there's a lot of missiles fired from that silo up there at the Taylorsville camp meeting. PAC's right here. All right. And I like to think of that as a missile silo up here. A lot of prayers prayed. I heard old Hanley Milby preach years ago, the Cuban missile crisis or what have you. He preached about the Scud missiles over in Afghanistan and Iraq, about the Scuds that Iraq had been firing. And they couldn't. You wouldn't do the testing. Okay. They just kept a fire in those Scuds and said Israel had some patriots and said they'd shoot them Scuds out of the air before they got to their destination.
Amen.
And I thank God for some patriots here at the camp meeting that prayed for us and prayed for my son and helped him. I was at home preparing for a Sunday morning message, and I'd been camp meeting that Monday and heard Brother Dula preach on the little ships. I'd heard Brother Scott Kerrigan preach on the little ships years ago, and bless my heart. And the Lord burned on my heart, and I was running that through my sift, and you preachers know what that is. I was studying on it, couldn't get away from it. was studying on what to look for in the storms of life that Saturday. And then that Sunday night message, I had a rough draft from 2 Kings on the Shunammite woman, where her son was working in the field with Dad, and he said, "Dad, my head, my head." Died in his mother's arms. My sitting on those two messages when we got the call to go down to CMC. I tell you what, that'll do something for you, Lord. I thought I was going to preach to people about the storms of life. He's just preparing me. What to look for in the storms of life. My, I was ready to preach it. I got down there and we was in the ICU waiting, and I told some of them, I said, "My, I've sat here all day on a Sunday and had these messages of burning. And had half of Millersville and half of Lebanon. The place was crowded with folk. I want to challenge you preachers, you ever leave right." I left Millersville right. And I had two churches down there with me, and I thank God for them. My, they gathered around us, and one of my friends said, What's going on, preacher? I can see you're awful edgy." And I said, "Well, this message is really burning." But I said, "I can't preach it in here in the waiting room." And he said, "Well, the Lord will give you plenty of opportunities to preach it down here." Now, about that time, a black quartet got up. And one of them started that three-port harmony. And they started singing about Jesus. And my buddy elbowed me, and he said, "Right there's your cue, brother." I got to preach that down all over CMC all summer long about the little ships. Got to preach it in the cafeteria and everywhere we went. My, so if you have your Bibles, I want to share with you a little bit about the little ships. Mark chapter 4, and I appreciate the prayer. Randy was praying about those little things, and you were sitting on a message with little ships. That helps you right there. Prayed for him many times, and I want to challenge you, don't give up on you praying. My, we baptized 11 at the church here the other Sunday. I'd prayed, my Uncle Ruff, as they come, I'd prayed and not went to church. And when I went up to 11, I said, "Lord, I'll go, but you save my people." He never went to church, and I watched him 37 years later here just a while back stepped out and give his heart and life to Jesus Christ. And a couple weeks later, I heard him stand and say, "If I knowed it'd have been this good, I'd have got saved years ago." In fact, we got parked right back there in the middle row, people he had testified to and witnessed to. Most of you know old Tommy Chapman down at Bun's Garage. He wouldn't mind me telling it. Lord saved his soul and saved his son Shannon, saved his daughter-in-law, both his daughters, just about his whole family. And I watched them go up the other Sunday, kneel at an old-fashioned altar. Next thing I knowed, here come Tommy out. Not been to church in his life. Knelt there behind his son and his daughter. Put his hands on them and prayed for them. That's the power of the living God. Don't give up. Don't give up on your prayer. And he heard me back there in 1985, very first prayer I prayed. Oh my. Mark's Gospel chapter 4. Going to read verses 35 through 41. If you can stand in reverence and honor to the Word of God. The Bible says, "And the same day when evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind and waves beating to the ship, so that it is now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind and the sea, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? They feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. The Lord gave his son, he spared mine. When I come from CMC, I said, Lord, you open doors, every door you open. Every revival that I preach, I start out with this message. Everywhere I go, I share it. Mine, the opportunity come to share and to thank y'all. So, the voyage started in verse 35 with a promise. I thank God for the promises. What He promised you way back in those, in the daylight hours when the sky's blue and the sun's a-shining. What He promised in the daylight will hold true in the darkest of storms. In the blackest of nights, hold to them promises, because the light shined in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. Oh me, what God's promises are true. You grab you some promises and you hang on to them. Before all this happened with my son, I could preach His grace is sufficient. And I had preached it. Don't you know now I can stand flat-footed and look in the eyes? And I can say His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. My, He said, let us go. And that's His presence. I'd rather be in the trauma unit with a supposedly dying son, as I'd rather be there as sitting down in the Catawba River on my favorite catfish rock with a jug of grasshoppers. If you ain't never used grasshoppers in the Catawba River, we'll get hooked up here for long, and I'll set you on that rock, and you'll have some real fun. That's one of the funnest places in life. But I tell you right now, I've sat on that rock with a troubled heart, and I'd rather have the peace and the presence of God in the trauma unit as I had to be down there. He said, let us. He's a-going with you through these storms of life. Verse 37, there arose a great storm and the ship was full. That means there's a sinking. It didn't look good for these boys. Ah, the account also in Matthew 8 and Luke 8, and the tax collector and the doctor all the time went into more detail. Mark, he just quick, short, and sweet. But Mark's the only one that mentions verse 36. And I can't believe the doctor and the tax collector left it out in all their records. But Mark did, and I thank God he did. Verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships. Other little ships. Y'all, the storm's not always about us. It's about the other little ships. Now, I could have sat down there at CMC and made a choice. Lord, I've tried to raise these boys right. I remember Jeremiah used to go to the nursing home with me all the time, did radio shows, go up and see Brother Steve's mom, had some real times. My, I heard her. She couldn't talk, and I got to hear her shout. Yeah, God filled her cup. Godly woman. My. I could have made a choice. I could have got bitter, and I'd say, Lord, I've tried to raise these boys right. I've tried to do right and brought them up in church, and why did this happen to me? I could have got bitter. I think we'd have been going to a funeral. But I chose, with the grace of God, to look for the little ships. Boy, the more I preached about the little ships down there, the more I shared, the more I saw them. I never realized helicopters are landing there in that pad every little bit. Our sister works with a helicopter. She knows just every little bit they're landing. This is where they send the worst of the traumas, head traumas in the southeast. They come there. And now when I hear a helicopter, I pray. Scanner come on here a while back, had a motorcycle wreck going close to the house, and they were lifting them out from the fire department. And with tears running down my face, I said, told my wife, said, I got to go up there. I said, there ain't nobody been there, but I have. And I might can be a help and pray with that mom and dad, and that family was a, said, I got to go. What happened? I saw some little ships, and once you see them, you'll go to looking for them in life. My, the ambulance was coming in there every little bit. I told my wife after about, I think it was 2 days, going into the third day, I said, I can't function. I said, I'm starting to slur. I said, I'm a staggering. I got to get a little sleep. I got to get a little sleep. And you'd lay down there, and boy, it wouldn't be just a little bit. The ambulances would be coming in every little bit all night long, hurting people, little ships, every way you turn. I remember one night in particular, one day there was several real bad ones on right next to my son, and my, they cut the lights off. And when they cut the lights off, that ain't good. And they'd roll a gurney out, and I'd hear them out come from the waiting area, and the family would meet. And they'd be a squalling. I ain't talking about crying. I'm talking about squalling. And it got so bad after most of the summer when I'd hear that, I'd just say, oh, Lord, there's a little ship. And they wasn't asking for the preacher, the chaplain there. They was asking for the preacher or his wife. And my little son Noah was out in the waiting area. My wife couldn't go back and sit with him much because she couldn't stand to see him, because you wouldn't have known my own boy for a long while. My son and wife would pray with them out there while I was back there with my son. They'd pray with the families. And that's who they'd asked for. And we'd go pray with them. And one 14-year-old girl, and dad had got hit, and he died right there. One of them lights was his. And I'd prayed with that family and that little old girl and asked God to touch their daddy and to spare his life. And my, I knew when they were well, and I knew who that was. I had to go out there and meet them and try to be a blessing to those little ships in life. I'm telling you, they're everywhere. They're everywhere, the little ships. One night, his brain pressure had dropped. And it spiked, not dropped, it actually goes up, and it spiked, and it was life-threatening. He had developed double pneumonia, and the doctor said it's the wicked kind. He said it's the kind, honestly, that kills. He said, this is the worst kind of get. He said, don't go far. He may not be here in the morning. And I held his hand. We'd been there a week, maybe longer. I held his hand. I'd prayed with him and read to him every scripture I knew to read and every prayer I knew to pray. And I just held his hand, just going to be there with him. Lord, give me an old song that they used to sing, the quartet down at Millersville years ago. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Oh, I just sung that song, and I sung that song, and I sung that song. Oh, my. Looked around there, and heard a commotion, the doctors, nurses, and I mean it was in the wee morning hours, and they was looking. I wasn't paying no attention. Mine, his brain pressure had come down to what mine and yours is. Yeah, what'd you do, preacher? I just kept on singing. I sung and I sung and I sung through the wee morning hours. You tell me God won't give you a song in the midnight hours? I'll beg to differ with you. He'll give you a song in your midnight hours. About right before daylight, I told the nurse watching there in the window, I said, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll be back shortly. I walked down the hall. It wasn't far here to the wall, and went in the bathroom, come out. She's just standing out there going. She said, I don't know what you're doing, but you get back in there and do it. And I went back, and I noticed his fresh brain pressure was back up to, yeah. What'd you do? That time I took his hand and I watched the brain monitor. And I sung, come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. I sang it and I sang it, and I watched that blood pressure. And then there was a whole crowd of them watching that time. They tagged him as the miracle boy. I remember walking down the hallway. He got out of the trauma. He was in step-down trauma, not as severe. He was pulling all, they worked him off the meds and pulled him out of the coma, and he's pulling all his tubes out. He'd pull his feeding tube out. He'd pull his trach out. He'd pull his IV. He couldn't keep it, and they'd try to tie him, and he'd come out of it. So the only way, he wouldn't listen to nobody else, but if Dad was sitting, I'd go, ah! He wouldn't pull him out, and they needed me. So I'm headed into his room, and I walk by. There's a lady in the progressive hall. I can still see her sitting right there in the floor crying. And I thought, my son needs me. And I walked by that lady, and the Spirit of God tapped on my shoulder, and he said, I'm trying to teach you about little ships, son. I got you down here for a reason. I'm going to take care of you, boy. What'd you do, preacher? Well, I turned around and asked her if they would watch him for a few more minutes. I'd be right there. And I walked back to her and I said, ma'am, I'm a preacher. Can I help you? She said, my husband, he designed the Wilkes Hospital up here. said he's got Lou Gehrig's, and most of the time it goes in your extremities first, your hands or your feet. And she said it's went to his lungs, very first thing. And he's asked him to be taken off the respirator. And he don't know the Lord, never been to church in his life. I've asked several preachers to come and visit with him and said he won't have nothing to do with them. And I said, well, where's he at? I'll if you'll allow me, I'll go pray with him. Go talk to him. Be glad to. And she gave me his room number. And I said, all right. And I went out to pray. And there was a little garden area out there where I'd go and study and preach and pray with folk. I mean, it was like a little church down there. It had flowers. It was nice. I'm a country boy. I like to get outside. So I'd go out in that garden area when somebody was with Jeremiah, and I'd go out there. Well, I go out there, and I go find his room number the next day, and I knocked on the door. He held it. I looked in, and he'd wrote on the paper, come in. And he held that little chalk thing, marker board with a marker, and he held it up, come in. And I said, I'm the preacher, and I come. And he said, I know. And I looked outside his door, and that window was right there at that garden area where I'd been praying for folks for weeks. He knew. And his wife done told him I was coming, but he knew. I went through the plan of salvation with that old boy, and I asked him would he like to be saved, would he like to pray. And he wrote on that board, I surely do. Yeah. You think that won't help you? My, he prayed. I prayed. I told him. He said, I can't talk. I said, it's in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. You can't talk, but you can talk to God. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, and he did. And he wrote, I am forgiven. Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't wait. Next morning, that lady, I met her, and I said, out there at breakfast, she was out there eating. I said, how is he? How's he doing? She said, preacher, you ain't going to believe this. She said, I've been married to him for 18 years. We got two youngins. And said, we had devotions this morning together for the first time. And said, tears run down his face on my Bible. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, the little ships, God puts us in the storms of life. It ain't about us. It's about getting him and them together. Some of you need to introduce your storms to the Savior. Some of you needs to introduce your storms to him and him to them. He already knows about them, but he wants you to say, hey, storm, meet my Savior. Hey, Savior, meet my storm. And then there might be the same results. You read on, a great calm. And they said, what manner of man is this? That means what manner he's out of this world. I'm talking about the great physician, Jehovah Rapha. Now, I want to stop right there, and I want to say, now, I have the privilege of telling this story, and it's a privilege and an honor, but please, please don't take it, because I could tell you the thousand times that I've missed the little ships, the thousands of times that this preacher ain't done right, and this message is not about me, it's not about my son. My son told me when I come in, he said, Daddy, do you have to tell them all about me? I said, son, it ain't about you. It's what God done through you. It's what God done through you. Please don't take it that way. Lord, we're nothing. We're nothing apart from his touch. We're just a messenger boy and one of the least of those. But I thank God if we'll open our eyes to the little ships, I'm telling you, it'll change your world. It'll change your world. There was a plastic surgeon down there going to do the surgery, and he said, don't worry. He said, I've been up to your room several times, and said, every time I come, said, you're in there with the Bible, you got your head down, you're praying, sharing scriptures or praying, and said, I've come several times, but he said, to talk to you about the surgery, but it's okay. He said, I got a young, and he said, I want you to know, I'm going to do this surgery just like I would my child. I said, that's good enough for me. And oh, we come out of that surgery, it lasted a lot longer than planned, a lot longer. My wife was worried to death. I had the peace of God that passes all understanding. Me and a black lady there got talking about Jesus, and I mean, it was good. And I said, honey, we're fixing to get thrown out of here because one of us is going to jump up and go shouting here in this, and everybody's worried to death in this place, and they'll throw us out. Badge and all, they're going to throw us out. That's how good it was. My Lord. And that Dr. Hefner looked. He said he's going to require future surgery. He looked at those scans after the new plastic surgeon had did his work. He said, "Who done this?" He said, "I have not seen work like this." He said, "This is a Cadillac." He said, "We ain't even going to have to do our surgery." And some of y'all was praying there wouldn't have to be a second surgery because they have to peel his face off. And Jeremiah was begging not to do the second surgery. So we just throwed it out. What'd God do? He took care of it. He took care of it. We was going into this little Chick-fil-A. I'm just going to just hit a few more and I'll be done. We was going into a Chick-fil-A when Jeremiah was doing better. They had a Chick-fil-A there at the hospital. And we was going in there to eat. My wife loves Chick-fil-A. Jeremiah was out of the woods, and he was doing better. We walk in there, and there's a little boy, and he's in a chair, and he's all hunkered over like this. And his head's sideways. See, the children's ward's right there next to where Jeremiah was. And there he is, and he's looking like this. My wife had on a 4S and orange shirt, and he's looking at that shirt and just glowing. So I just hunkered down there with him, and I said, "What's your name?" He couldn't talk, but he was real looking at her shirt. So we just talked to him. And it wasn't but just another boy sitting across from him. He said, "He can't talk." I said, "Okay." I said, "What's his name?" And he told me. And I talked to him a little bit. And then we got up and we got on. We lost our place in line. Went on, got back in line. And a lady come up to me and she said, "I appreciate you stopping and talk to my boys." She said, "Oh, I see your clergy badge," said that. Said, "Everybody looks at them like monsters." Said, "They won't nobody have much to do with them." Had a wicked scar, looked like the side of his head about gone. Couldn't. That was the boy that could talk. The other couldn't talk. And I said, "Yeah, we're going to pray." And I can't remember the boy's name. I think it was Trevor. I said, "We'll pray for him." She said, "Oh, no, Trevor's fine." Said, "He's 30-some years old." Said, "He never developed. He's never spoke a word. Can't talk. 30-some years old? A little young'un." And then she said, "Trevor's the other one's the one that needs the prayer." Said, they tried to get it, but he's got the worst type of brain cancer you can get, and he ain't going to be with us long." And I thought, Lord, I thought I had some problems. I went in there. Jeremiah took a setback, and I went in there, and I was pooch mouth and down and out. We think we got problems, y'all. My word, I got up from there and I cried all the way back to his room with my hands in the air saying, "Glory to God, glory to God." Ain't none of us face what that mama's facing down there. Not even nowhere close to it. And then I went in there to work on a message. I was at work coming home in on Wednesdays and preaching some. Jeremiah was in rehab then. And I was in rehab working on a message, and a lady from the outskirts of Ghana, a black lady, she said, "Son," or pastor, she was real reverent. She said, "In Ghana, we got something in Ghana y'all don't have in America." She had my attention. I'm working on a message for Wednesday night. I just slide my stuff over and I said, "Really?" I said, "What do you have in Ghana? It's pretty poor the way you'd talk to me." She said, "We have a smile." She said, "Y'all have got everything over here in America, but you don't have a smile." She said, "In Ghana, we wonder where our next clothes is going to come from and our next meal. We got one set of shoes and one pair of clothes, and you wear them all the time." And she said, "Y'all are blessed, but y'all don't smile." And said, "In Ghana, we smile everywhere we go." And I thought, wow. Wow. And I'm sort of in preacher shock, I guess you could say. Well, she just rocked my world like some of y'all just got rocked. And she said, "And y'all got something in America that we don't have in Ghana." I said, "Really? You just tell me, sister." She said, "All y'all do in America is complain." She said, "We don't complain in Ghana." I said, "We're thankful." I pushed that aside and I turned the page over and I wrote Philippians 2:14. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." And I went down and come home and preached that message and titled it, "Wow." Wow. Wow. Heaven. Heaven. Has God not been good to us? Can we not say wow? Heaven. I mean, wow. My wife used to get after me. I'd say, my, all the time. When something real good happened, I can't explain it. I'd say, my. Now I'll just say, wow.
Wow. That's him. He leaves a pretty good set of fingerprints on everything he does. And you don't need one of them stampers to look on his fingerprints. You'll look. You'll see them on everything in your life. And my, we ought to be a thankful people. My, we ought to be a saying, wow. The children's unit was right there next to where Jeremiah was. When he got out of the woods, we'd go down the creek. And like I said, I had two church at Lebanon and bring me pies and cakes and my word, just everything you can imagine. And Millersville bringing stuff, and there we are with all that good food. We'd give it out, and we'd take the crumbs down to the creek right there in front of the hospital. Throw them crumbs in. The brim and the turtles and the ducks and everything just swarming that creek. Well, I noticed all them youngins from the Bryan's Children's, Levine's Children's. They're right there. And they're Brenner's. They're right there. And they're, most of them's had surgery, and they're paralyzed on their left side. I don't know why that is, but most of them was paralyzed on their left side. But they was just tickled to death, so I'd give them stuff, and it clicked. Being a fisherman right up the river here, I called Isaac, my middle boy, and I said, bring two ultralights tomorrow with some rooster tails, some little 33s. Because if they're paralyzed on their left side, you rewind to a 33 with the right hand. We're going to have some fun. So I'd wind them, and I'd set the hook, made friends with them. Noah prayed with them. We're still corresponding with some down around Raleigh. And I watched them little boys crank, and after we'd set the hook, Mom would hold the pole, or me and Noah would hold the pole up at the end and let across their chair and wind it and catch them. And they caught their first fish, and Mom and Dad be over there crying, just having a big time. That might not mean much to y'all, but that sure helped me. What are you saying? Those were little ships down there. Little ships. And one little fella, he was paralyzed. He was opposite. He could not move his right hand. And we got to be pretty close with him and his dad and his family. Tried to help him. Y'all, some of y'all sent money. Some of it made its way to some of them people. Little ships. And I come home that Wednesday and I said, I'm going to buy two reels, a real nice ones. One little one for him for now and one big one when he gets out of here. Couldn't wait. A hospital that size, we pull up to the hospital going back that day. Guess who's walking to the road going down to the fishing place? There's that boy and his daddy, and he can't hardly go, but he's a trying. So I got out, and I told Pam, whoa, whoa, whoa. We pulled over, and I run down there. I said, this is for now, and this is for later. And I said, here, I'll throw you the first. And I throw that little plug out there, and his dad said, now, you know he's paralyzed on the right side. I said, he can't wind it. I said, believe he can. I said, let's just try it a little bit. I don't know. Sometimes you see a preacher, and y'all know you've seen one. They got that far away look, and yeah, you know you're fixing to hear something. He had that look in his eyes when every time he'd see one of them boys catch a fish. I mean, he was intense. He had that look, and I told his dad, let's just try it. Let's just try it, and I set the hook and handed it to him. And I'll never forget, I watched that little boy do this right here with that right hand. And I seen him shaking all over, but it took him a little bit. But he wound that little fish in. I've caught big fish. That's the biggest fish I ever seen in my life. He caught 106 fish before we left about the same time in rehab. We was out there walking in the grass one day, and that lady, that nurse said, are you the miracle boy's dad? And I said, well, yeah. And she said, Mama, I said, you might be on something about this fish. Said, we couldn't. We tried everything to get that boy to use his right hand. He wouldn't. Yeah. You seen that look? I seen him when him other boys catching them fish. He had that look. And she said, the only thing they can figure out is the adrenaline rush overrode that paralysis. And we left out of there. He was walking like my son. You tell me how the God can take a little backwards preacher that ain't got enough sense to get in out of the rain and use us down there? Wow. That's him. That's him. That's him. Oh my, I got to get done. I don't even know where I got to, brother. I don't even know if I can get back. God's growing us in the storms. I preached all over Russia and Romania when the wall came down in the 90s. I stayed in Gorbachev's personal motel.
And I don't think the Lord's ever used us as much as he did down there. My wife says that she's not ready to go back. I carry a picture of a lady with her first Romanian Bible, with her first Biblia. Tickled to death to get them. She's old and gray now. As a reminder, you go over there and preach. You preach for 4 hours, and they don't want you to quit. They'll be standing in the windows in the churches. Churches packed, standing up. Hungry for the Word of God, wanting Biblias. I'm telling you, but I've never seen the Lord use us as much as he did down there. My, he's helped us. But we got to learn, church and folk, to look for those little ships. He said in chapter 5, verse 1, that they made it to the other side. After your great storm meets your great calm, you'll make it to the other side. What's on the other side? Well, the devil hits them head on. He's preparing you in this storm to get ready for the next storm. He's growing you in this storm to prepare you for the next storm. How you build those muscles, you got to exercise them. That's what he's doing. I remember one, after he was tagged with a miracle boy, there was a ICU nurse came over. I was sitting with him. She said, "Preacher, have you got a minute?" And I said, "Yes." She went on to tell me she was as in bad a shape as my son in the bed. Bad shape. Bad shape. And we prayed with her right there on that floor beside my son. We got up and she got help for her life. We got up and she was a squalling. I mean crying. Lord touched her and helped her. And we was walking out the door, and when she did, another nurse came by and she seen her crying in tears. She thought my son had passed. She said, "What's Oh, no," and walked over and looked and seen everything was fine. She asked her, "What's wrong?" And I remember as I was walking out, she said, "God sent that preacher all the way from the mountains of North Carolina to give me just what I needed."
Exactly.
Little ships, y'all.
Exactly.
They're everywhere in our lives. We just have to look for them. Be sensitive to them. Now, we had a flat tire coming home. One time my wife did, and got to lead someone to Christ. Flat tire, you look around, there'll be a little ship. Jeremiah's, he spared her and saved his wife-to-be. They're getting married in a couple weeks. And guess what she's going to be? An ICU trauma unit nurse.
Well, well.
I think she had some good OJT, don't you?
Yeah,
on the job training, she stayed all summer long. My. Well, in closing, I'm about done. Ain't no lights today. I ain't never preached up here. There ain't been no lights. Ain't no lights on Father's Day. Free time. Amen. Amen. I guess we give out several backpacks of CDs down there. I kept a backpack, and I kept them filled with CDs. And everywhere I went, I'd walk up the side of the hospital, and they'd say, "Preacher, would you go pray with my wife? She's in this number. Would you go pray with my son? He's in this number." I'm just telling you, these little ships, and it was not about me and my son at all. God will use you in great ways if you'll just have a sensitive spirit. Those inconveniences, those hard places in life, is just God trying to get you in a place to be salt and light in the dark world. God gave me this prayer, and I want to share it with you. I thought about maybe trying to get it published. But it's a powerful prayer, and you might want to mark your Bibles. I ain't much on reading prayers. I don't like to be around a service where they read a prayer. Never have. But I like this prayer because it's from God's Word, and God gave it to me by His bedside, and I prayed it by Him many times. It starts out in Psalms 86, in verses 7 and 8. "In the day of my trouble I will call upon Thee, for Thou wilt answer me. Among the gods," little g gods, "there is none like unto Thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto Thy works." What are you doing? You're just bragging on Him there. And then you move over to Psalms 85, verse 7. "Show us Thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us Thy salvation." That's biblical. The man that had the demon possessed, sorely vexed, boy. What did he cry? Read it in Matthew. "Lord, have mercy on my son." You can pray mercy on your children. That's the most powerful intercessory prayer there is. Come on the merits of mercy, y'all.
You'll get his ear every time when you come on the merits of mercy. I got in at 85, all I done was cried out for mercy. Mercy, mercy, that's all I could get out. You said you pray the Roman road? No, all I could do was crawl and squall and get out of mercy every now and then, because I saw myself a sinner bound for hell, and him is my only way out, one that's going to love me out. My. Psalms 85, verse 7, and then I close the prayer with Psalms 83, verse 18. That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. Wow. Powerful prayer. I challenge you to pray it. Challenge you to pray it. We went down. His last visit to CMC to be released. They were wheelchairs in the waiting area. There were canes and crutches. My boy walked in. My boy walked out. All because of mercy. Merciful. As my dad would say on Father's Day, I'm thankful for his mercy. For without it, we'd have nothing. Intercede for your family and your friends, your lost loved ones, those that's going astray. Intercede with mercy. Cry out for mercy in their name. Come on the merits of mercy. Look for those little ships and those hard places in life. Don't lose your smile. We got something to smile about, y'all.